Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dr. Defner, of whom I am immensely fond and whom I miss very much, used to say that the whole of a Christian life was centered on a truly good death. Christians who are careful in their use of the liturgy are accustomed to such thinking. In the final prayer of the commendation of the dying, we pray that God would comfort us with his holy word and give us strength that when our last hour comes, we may peacefully fall asleep in him. But think even of Compline. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. But what is a good death? Can death ever be good? The Jews in our gospel seem to have thought that any particularly gruesome or ironic death was an indication of God's disapproval, a bad death. St. Luke paints quite a picture of that group. One of a mob of gossips sidling up to Jesus with that oh-so-shocked expression and that all-too-familiar look of sympathetic condescension. Jesus, did you hear what happened to those Galileans? It's just awful. But they must have had it coming, right? I wonder what they did. Say, you're from Galilee, aren't you, Jesus? And then off come the gloves. Christ answers the question, and in a none too gentle way. Yes, I did know them. That's implied. He's God. And you lot don't for a single second imagine that you're any better than they were, do you? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Every death, death itself is an indication of God's disapproval. Each death is gruesome and ironic. Every passing is an embarrassment to humanity. It doesn't matter if you fall to cancer, drown in your tub, get shot down in combat. Our mortality is a universal scandal. We all die. But before the horror of the human condition has a chance to drive us to utter despair, Jesus distracts us with another of his parables. In the story of the vineyard owner and his fig tree, we're treated to a description of God's patience, his patience with his sinful and fallen creatures, and an even more soothing picture of Jesus and his intercessory work as our own high priest. God has been exceedingly patient with us already, but for Jesus' sake, and at his explicit request, he continues to wait. And wait for what? Wait for us to bear the good fruit for which we were created. But the story, of course, is different when Jesus tells it. The ordinary vintner can only water and fertilize and hope for the best. Any attempt to hang figs on an unproductive tree would be hopelessly inept. Jesus, however, is no ordinary vintner. He is himself the vine with the power to make us his branches. Our incarnate Lord joins himself to us in flesh and blood and spirit. He lives in us and we in him, and he bears fruit in us on our behalf. Our Father is content to wield his axe on the cross and let us live because he sees growing on and in us fruit, good fruit, fruit borne by Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. Pilate mingles Christ's blood with his sacrifice, and the weight of more than the Siloam's tower falls on his innocent and selflessly mortal shoulders. Jesus dies in our place. According to Jesus' own words, it is the unrepentant, the unbelievers, who go down to death ignominiously. But what of the repentant? What of those who believe in Jesus' promise? Have not we, the baptized, already conquered death? Have we not already died? Are not we who commune here at the high altar of God filled with the living flesh and blood of our resurrected Lord? We are already immortal. For you and me, death is the moment when we shed the last vestige of our old Adam and come to see our Savior in all his glory and be glorified by him. We do not perish in death. A good death is one that doesn't interrupt our lives. We Christians have already dealt with death. We got that taken care of at the font. Many of us died as infants. This is the knowledge, the truth that sustains us. This is why we're not afraid to lie down in our graves or to lie our loved ones in theirs. This is why we live soberly and contentedly. Eternity has begun. The clock has already stopped for us. The fundamental peace of Christian life, the peace that passes understanding, that underlies even our most tempestuous moments, is what drives us to share that knowledge with our friends and with our neighbors. Christ has borne fruit in us and for us, and yet he still intercedes for the world around us. This is their extended year of grace. Today is their day. This is the day to bring them to church, to bring them within hearing of the gospel, to inform them of what Christ has done for all of us. We have this year, this day, this time in which to rejoice in God's mercy and rely on his patience. We have this instant, and who knows how many, if any more, to enlarge our circle of friends and expand our brotherhood. And honestly, the more the merrier. Believe it or not, a good death is something you want to share with your friends. Which is why, after his resurrection, Jesus commands his apostles to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.